Well, it's a blessing to be here. We have heard a lot this morning. I have a topic on my heart that's been burning for the last 3 weeks. I was in one country and my wife was in another, and I had a lot of thoughts about that problem. And so I come back here with a topic burning on my heart. It's not meant to be that way, that we're apart. So I'm going to elaborate a little on Paul Stalder's thoughts here this morning about these people out there that don't know what it is to have the wife of their youth by their side any longer. Yeah, that would be much more appropriate. It's always best to have a brother watching out for you. Praise the Lord. One woman, one man for life. Oh, mercy. All right, I'd like if all the married brothers could stand this morning. We're going to pray for each other. Going to pray for me. But we want to come this morning with open hearts, because brothers, we're a minority almost anymore that know one wife, and I'm trusting it is that way this morning here, that we only have had one wife. But brothers, this thing is creeping in amongst us, and we need to get serious about it, because there's a need. You know, if this S would not be here, you know, we want to have a one single-hearted soul. So let's pray this morning. You can pray for me in your quiet hearts there. But my heart this morning is to exhort us, brothers, to seek the Lord together this morning. God, we come before you this morning. We lift our hearts to you. Lord, I ask this morning you could come down and stir us up, those of us that are married here, to a deeper walk with you, and those that are watching and observing and listening, that a vision could be planted deep within their hearts. Lord, we just want to know what it is to have godly homes. We want to know what it is for our children to experience this phenomena. Lord, it's something that when the earth sees it, they cry out for it as well. And we want to be a testimony in this world, in this community, where there's two people that love each other and are serving God together for life. Lord, I pray you give me wisdom this morning. Pray you bless each one here that's standing this morning. Lord, we're asking that you could come and speak to us. Lord, help us to grow. I just thank you for this time and pray you bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. My son and I were in Germany for a little under 3 weeks. My boy was getting a disc replaced in his back. And so that took some time and recovery, and that's still taking place. It's not a finished work yet, but it's something that stood out to me. When we got to Germany, the way they do at the hospital there, you go through this procedure in groups. A lot of times you can talk together, you can share, can help each other. The way they work it out is you tend to go in groups, and our group was from all over the world. It's very interesting. This place is kind of a melting pot of a lot of people because of the work that they do there. But as I was getting to know some of these people, there's this thought that stood out to me, just so much so, of the privilege that I have when I go back home. And I've made many choices in my life to get where I'm at today. But brothers, as we walk through life, it's going to take a lot more choices to get where we want to go and not go where our flesh would take us. And the blessing we can have when we have a single-hearted mind is so huge. God made it that it's one man and one woman for life. There's nothing better. The plan hasn't changed. In God's word, it's always been that way, and it's not to change. And it is the best way. And so I'd like to share this morning, and I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of this is not because of where I'm at and how I've arrived. I'm not arrived. I'm on a journey. I've learned a few things. But I trust as brothers we can be here for each other and help each other along, because brothers, there's only one shot at it. And behind us, we're leaving a legacy. And would to God that it could be a good one. One woman, one life, and one chance. I hope it impacts you like it's been working on me. Because there's a lot of men out there in their 50s and 60s that have all that they need, and they don't have a companion any longer to share it with. She's gone. They may have tried. The one fella in our group tried for 5 years, and then he gave up. She wouldn't come back. And that broke my heart. There he was going through this operation, all kinds of pain before he got there. He's going to a house when he gets done. He's not going home. He wasn't going to what he longed for. He wanted to go home. Am I getting my thought across? Do you know what I mean? This morning, this past weekend, we took a car, we rented a car, and we went to the Netherlands while we were there, because that's where my grandparents come from. And we spent a couple days there. And it just so worked out, I ended up in the home of one of my, I think he'd be a first cousin to me. And we got talking, and I ended up listening for a couple hours about this same subject. He has two girls. And he's a grandfather. This girl has no husband. This granddaughter has no father. He's proud to have a granddaughter. I can understand that, I think. I'd enjoy that too one day. It hasn't happened yet. But something's missing. And if you listen to him talking, his wife left him, After all their children finally got in school, they made it that far. And then she left. And he's looking for a companion. That's a loaded subject. This is a big mess. How do you sort through some of these things? I didn't all have time for that, but I was listening, and we helped some other issues. We talked and prayed about some other things that were in his life. We had a good time of fellowship. But this brother, I believe he's a brother. He's a Christian. Best he knows how, in such a Protestant culture like that, where the churches are full of old people. I don't know. The younger ones don't go to church anymore. Many of them over there. Big church houses, but they're a building with no church inside, most of them. And this Faka is his name. It's Frank in English, Faka in Dutch. He has the same name as my brother. And he just goes for a couple hours talking about this problem. His wife left him, and he is so lonely. He has a house. He has all that he needs, but he doesn't have his companion. And this thing's just going through my mind. And I think about back home and how it is for me, but how I've been doing, choices I've been making, things I've done and said, and things that could be better, things that could change. And I just did a lot of thinking these last couple weeks, probably a lot so about this subject. And I guess as we look at these things, we're going to use Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, if you want to turn there with me. But brothers, it's just so that I think we live in a very privileged situation. If you look at statistics, probably 50 to 60% of the U.S. homes are broken. And I don't know how many would you say are not broken, but there's no togetherness. How high would that rate be? I don't know. But my heart this morning, when I look, I've been in this setting for 25 years. I've been in this type of church. I don't want to say too much, but my brother-in-laws are about divorced. Got one of them. And I can count on how many hands already. The people I grew up with these last 25 years that are divorced in our setting. Something is wrong. It's not to be that way. Let it not once be named among the saints. What is the problem? It comes down to a heart problem. And it starts out by these little things. Forming walls. And then these walls get so big. And in Europe, you've got some big walls and some strong castles, but you don't have anybody at home anymore. A lot of them are museums. And I think sometimes a lot of our homes are museums. There's plaques on the walls. There's a lot of ideals. But brothers, is there any reality this morning? What is your heart home situation? Where are you at with this wife of your youth? Are you like this or are you like this? Where are your hearts? Are they twined together with love? Are you united together with her in a love that will never part? Or are you at two separate places? No, you wouldn't get divorced because people would talk about it. Is that all that's holding you together this morning? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's a lot more to marriage than that. It's not to be that way. In fact, we can love each other so much that the problems can look this big that we run into throughout the day. Amen? The problems can look this big. Why can they look this big? Tell me. That's right. What does the Bible say about love? Love covers a multitude of sins. God is love. And in him is no darkness at all. And so he looked at this problem and he sent his son. We're going to look at Ephesians 5 and we're going to think about this a little bit. How is it that this is a resolution to this problem? Christ gave us a tremendous example. And we want to look at that this morning. But brothers, unless it grips our hearts, it's not going to change. It's going to stay like it was, and it's probably going to get worse, and it's going to be another statistic, and the devil's got his bait and everything he was looking to get accomplished, and the homes are broken. But by the grace of God, it does not have to be that way. And it's so much the better when our hearts get on fire for God and sold out to him in such a way that this old flesh dies. It just falls away, and we're a one-hearted man and a one-hearted woman, and we seek the Lord that it can be that way. Sometimes my wife and I are very opposite. By nature, we are on a lot of things. With magnets, opposite attract, no? Same poles pull each other away. They can't, but you flip the magnet around, it comes together. It holds, and it's fast. And I talk about that with my wife sometimes, but you know, what is it that hinders that difference at times and keeps us from that magnetic action? What can happen? Well, the old flesh can get in there, and these differences can become seemingly big enough that we don't stick together like this. Huh? I'm not going to ask for raise of hands. How many have had that happen at least once in your marriage where something was stopping it? Jesus came to take that thing out and bring togetherness, praise the Lord. And he wants to do it again and again, and if we fall short, he'll do it again. He died for problems like that. And he did it so that we can know our wife in a small way, the way that he knows his father. He did it that there could be such love, that there'd be such a oneness, that people could see Jesus by seeing that marriage. That's what it came for in relating to this thing Ephesians 5 talks about. And we want to read that this morning and look at some of my notes here that I have. But this is what's burning on my heart this morning, that I wouldn't get to that 55-year-old phase of life when the children are out of the house, and this fella, he told me, he said, Dirk, he said, you date your wife, you get to spend time with her, he said, because if you're not careful when those children are gone, it might be that there'll be two people living in that house that don't know each other, and where are you going to find yourself at? and this fellow where he's at, I don't see life the same way he does, but I tell you, I agreed with him on that point. He had that one figured out, and he came to that conclusion from the hard way. I don't want to go there. But what he said stuck to me, and I appreciated it. And I told him that's what we do because it takes that. I haven't done it often enough before I left. I've been courting my wife ever since I got back. And it ain't going to stop. Why is that I can say that? Because there's love there. Love is of God and it's wonderful in a home. Are you experiencing that this morning? Do you love each other? Do the children know that? Do they smell that? Do they taste that around the dinner table? Do they taste that when they get in the car and go places with mom and dad and there's a long ride? Do they feel that caliber of love that it's hot and it's working? Or are there places they'd rather go than be there with you two? Because they know that you two don't really want to be together. When you have love like this, it draws. It draws hearts out. It puts aspirations in children's hearts. It helps them to know how that God loves them. It's not so hard to listen when God knocks because they know what love is like. They see it. So anyways, let's read Ephesians chapter 5 here this morning. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking in yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." I'm going to have a raise of hands, brothers. I'm going to write it down on the board. So, when God sees two people come together, what is God looking for, or what's God's will in establishing a home? Do we have any thoughts there? What does God want to see happen? Someone said love. leave and cleave. Say one flesh, one flesh. Unity. Husband to be the leader. Giving up of self, sacrificial love, we could say sacrificial love maybe. Am I spelling these right, Ruben? Will you keep an eye on me here? Commitment. I think there's one T there, I can't remember. All right, communication. Okay, brothers, I appreciate that. There's a lot of different thoughts up here. Love, leave and cleave, one flesh, unity, husbands be a leader, sacrificial love, commitment, and communication. Verse 18 in our chapter here, Ephesians 5, brings out the thought of being filled with. And brothers, this morning I'd like us to think about that. This one fellow we were talking with was into what they call sprint boats. Now maybe to us it sounds crazy, but to him it was a passion. High horsepowered boats, very fast rigs, driving at insane speeds with a reckless results many times. He spent a year here in the States from out of the country. He came here and spent a year doing this in the States here. My thoughts turned to this verse this morning as I was looking at this. Be understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be filled with tire shop. Is that what the Bible says of the Spirit? Be filled with mini barns. Be filled with furniture. Be full of milk. I used to be a dairy farmer, and oftentimes it's all we talked about at home. Cornelius is full of wires and technology. Oh, how is this going to work? So, brothers, when we get home at the end of the day, it's helpful if we close the door on what happened that day to a good measure, and we go over here to this side when we get home, and we open the door and we step in. Because when we get home, you brothers know as well as I do that our wives have a lot to talk about. And we do well if we empty out or something, do something that when we get home, that we're there to listen. And as I get older, I'm finding out that being a good listener solves most of life's problems. A good listener usually doesn't have to say much. I don't have that one figured out. I'm just telling you it works. Give it a try. I'm learning that one, okay? That was free. If you can take a hold of that, it won't cost you as much as it's cost me, baby. And I say that humorously, but brothers, I have not been a good listener. And if we can develop that gift, I know that it works because I've seen it work in my own home, but I see it work in other people's lives too. So work on that one. Be a good listener. And when you leave work for the day, shut the door, step out and around and go open this door over here of your heart and let your wife come in and spend some honey time. When you're home, be there. Plug in. Be filled with this heart of God in this situation. Put other things away and make this one a priority. When we do that, do you know what happens when my wife says something and she sees that I'm listening? The eyes lighten up, the heart starts opening up, and things are different. It's beautiful. If we don't get a hold of that one, we're going to lose out on a blessing. Let's just say that. So let's develop that one. What is, I guess that's my first point, what are we full of when we get home? And then it goes on here, and it speaks in verse 18. There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of excesses in a lot of different areas, and he was addressing wine here. I'm addressing hobby horses. I'm addressing our work life. I'm addressing what our priority is. That's how I'm using that verse this morning. Because to me, I needed to do that to get this focus where I feel it was good for me. And then in verse 19, it speaks about singing. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. So maybe throughout the day, but for sure at the end of the day, at our home, when we're there, what is the atmosphere like? Just go with me a little and think about that. If we come home, and we're just all down about the day, and this and that and the other thing, and we don't look up. We don't absorb and connect. We're in our own world. All of a sudden, when you come home, that spirit comes there, does it not? Can you relate to that? Well, maybe I'm the only one this morning. I don't know. I see a few nods. But when we come home and there's been a blessing and you know what? It didn't go so well today, but God took me through. And this is what I learned. I want to share with you, children. When you get a fellow who reacts to you and he blows up at you about something, this is how you handle this situation and how God can get some glory out of it, how you can get some good mileage out of this opportunity. Relationship. I want to share with you, children, how you handle this one. When we get home, we can talk maybe about children. I got taken advantage of really bad today. This situation went the way it did. I maybe could have done something different, but the bottom line is this person wouldn't see it any other way. I was in the wrong, and I was the problem. And this is how I handled this. And I have forgiven him. And this is how I feel God would teach us to handle this situation. And, well, there's other things. Maybe we're home and we're singing. Our hearts are full of joy. You know what happens till it comes supper time when dad's like that? And mama didn't have a good day and the diapers need to all be changed and the supper's not ready yet and so and so and maybe they burned the beans and the potatoes could, oh my. But you know what? If dad has his heart set on something good, you know what happens? We open the doors, we let the smoke out of the house, and we have supper. Praise the Lord. What does a pile of potatoes amount to anyhow if Dad handles that in the right way? But if he holds it against her the whole supper time, and that's all he talks about, that hurts. Brothers, it's not worth having smoke in the house and burnt potatoes on your plate, and that's all you think about. It's not worth it. Let's go for the other one. Let's throw out some of the potatoes. Let's eat what's left. And let's have a good time of fellowship together. We can go down the road and go to the ice cream stand maybe. We can do something to make up the difference. It's really not worth that kind of an atmosphere, is it? Amen, he says. Preach it, brother. The other brother shaking his head. No, it's not. Let's get our mind off of those things. And brothers, I'm speaking to myself. God help us to get a cash crop out of this in a good way. This thing of having hymns and making melody in our heart, taking the adversities of life and loving our wife. You know, sometimes our wives face things. They don't always feel like loving us. They sometimes can't help that. What are you and I going to do about that? How are we going to lead and steer this ship? We're accountable for it either way it goes. And the atmosphere, at the end of the day, the atmosphere is our responsibility. And they, our wives, are looking for an example. They want more than that. They married us to have that protection and care and shelter. They deserve it, and it's our responsibility. If we can keep that atmosphere healthy and joy-filled, praise the Lord. It's profitable. It really is. It makes a big difference. So God help us to give thanks always for all things unto God. And brothers, you know and I know that's easier said than done sometimes. But if we keep this goal in mind and we stay close to the cross, it can become a reality. I believe that. And I know that it works. It's no question. So let's develop a thankful, joy-filled atmosphere and turn those circumstances into blessings. Teachable moments. When Deuteronomy 5 and 11 speak about when your son gets up and he's walking with you on the way, and when you sit down, and when you rise up, and when you're eating, teach him how that you handle life, how that you walk through these things. Show him by your life that my ways work, God says. Improve me now, he says, if this will not work for you. Praise the Lord. If we go on to verse 21, it speaks to the thought of submitting one to another in the fear of God. And I want to go on that one a little bit. I want to say quite, want to give respect where it's due. But this one thing I know, there's a big difference at home. If we take a situation and we listen to what our wife is saying and we have a teachable spirit and it's not two things coming at each other, if we can take a moment and we can just stop and quiet our thoughts and listen and we can hear what's going on or we can hear the heart of what they're saying, and it's not two charged people facing each other. Are you getting my thought on that subject? By nature of people charging at each other, there's a collision. And we all know when you go to the body shop, collisions cost a lot of money, do they not? We don't like going to the body shop. You know, Christ came to help his people not end up at the bent and dent at the body shop with no answers and no help and no funds. He knew that the course of life is going to take people down a hard road, and they're going to have some dents and bumps, some mistakes. And he knew that if he's willing to pay the price, and he goes all the way, he knew that if he's faithful, that plan would bring the grace and the strength that we need to take life situations the way and bring God's grace into it. So it's healthy if we submit one to another and we walk together, as we saw this morning, this example right here. A husband and wife holding that balloon between their shoulders and walking through a problem situation with the proper tension against the balloon, I'm saying here, not between each other, I'm saying with the balloon, gets you through, project accomplished, two people going the same way with no, and the balloon can keep you apart maybe. That's how respect can do. It can keep you at a place where you can share the experience together and you can get to the other end and you can be one. That's powerful. And it comes by submitting ourselves together and walking through that experience with respect for each other and giving each other that space to walk and not having a confrontational atmosphere. It's good. It's a healthy thing to have, this submitting one to another. When we can have that kind of respect for each other, where one can talk and one can listen, and our hearts are open together, that relaxed atmosphere, may God help us to have that be a reality. In verse 22 here speaks about wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. This morning we don't have a lot of time, so that's all I'm going to say for you ladies this morning, okay? Just do that. That's not what I'm looking at this morning. I'm thinking about the husband this morning, so we'll keep on going here. And it speaks about the husband being the head of the wife. I want you to turn, if you could, to Psalms 128 and Psalms 127. I want to look at that together. My wife and I, when we got married, Brother Melvin Kaufman preached out of Psalms 127 at our wedding. That chapter was always precious to us. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." That's all I'm going to read there, but Psalms 128 is where I'm going this morning. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, and happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants around the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, and thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." As we look at this verse 23 in Ephesians here, considering what Psalms has to say about this man of God, who's walking in the fear of God and walking in the knowledge of God, And his life speaks of those disciplines and those characteristics. And the wife can look to him and can accept him as her head and can appreciate that. When that can be that way, it is not hard for a wife to submit to her husband. It's not hard. And brothers, my heart this morning is, let's make it easy for our wives to submit and support us. Amen? Let's just make it real easy. Let's make it such that they wouldn't want anybody else. Let's make it such that they wouldn't want to go anywhere else. Because this man loves me. He cares about me. I know he does because I can tell it. I can feel it. I hear it. He loves me. Let's make it easy for our wives to be able to do that. And brothers, in the end, what do we have to lose? Frustration, stress, tension. We can lose all that. Amen? You know what? We can lose that tension. It can just fall because we can choose to let it go, whatever that might be. I'm probably going to get about a third of the way through my message this morning, and that's okay. God knows what we need to hear, and he knows where we're at. And it's not me speaking what I do that's going to make the difference. It helps. But what's going to make a big difference is if we as brothers, in verse 25 here in Ephesians 5, let's look at that verse together here. It says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." I want to go on down and look at verse 27. I spent most of my time this morning looking at verse 27 this morning. And yesterday, as I was looking at this chapter here, because, brothers, I want to know what this is in my home, that this verse is a reality. As I was thinking about this, my mind went to this point. When we look at life, and we look at situations, and there's some that need to change, and we're involved in it as men. We're maybe in charge. We're responsible by default. It is that way. Can't get around it. When you look at that, I just want to plant this in your heart like it hit me as I pondered on this verse. When we think about this, and we know something needs to change, we can get the skill saw out and we can cut. We can jackhammer. We can weld and torch, you know, cut the thing off, you know, fix it. We can take that approach. But that only goes so far. Christ's approach, as he looked at Dirk Visser and he saw him and he said, "I want to love him again and again and again and again and again and again so much that he won't want anybody else. And if I love him hard enough and show him enough of truth and love, he's going to be like me. And I'm willing to die to make that a reality." When we're willing to love somebody so much And they sense that when we're facing something, that a change needs to happen. And we, in love, help them to see what the burden of our heart is when it changes because of that kind of relationship. That brings results. And that's what happens, does it not, when Christ works with us? And he shows us something in our life. Does he do it to do this to us? And push us down and beat us up? He doesn't do it that way. He does it because he comes alongside and he says, Dirk, the way you said that, the way you were thinking in that situation, don't go there. This is the way. Walk you this way. He says, Dirk, the reason I'm showing you that problem is so it doesn't have to happen again. Won't you listen to me? Can't this change if you just look at it different? See, that's the kind of love that Christ had when he came down and he died on the cross. And brothers, if we get a hold of this love, when our wife comes to us and wants some answers and she feels that kind of love, do you think it's going to smooth out some of the blemishes and the wrinkles? Do you think it's going to take those blemishes out and put some other spirit and ability there than what she has? She's looking for answers. Sure she is. But by God's grace and being a good listener and having the Spirit of Christ working in our heart, it's like my wife getting my shirt out of the laundry and taking an iron and just ironing that thing and saying, honey, put this on. I want to see you wear this. As that's how it is, brothers. One day, after we've ironed our family and we've washed them and ironed them a while, and we stand before God and we say, God, this is what I have. Would you help me? Or thank you for what you did. I appreciate that. God wants us to be able to iron those things in such a way that when we stand before him one day, I don't know if I'm getting my thoughts out clear enough on this verse, but what has been impressed upon me is that when we love each other like that, the wrinkles just go away, and it changes people. And it does it from the inside out. And brothers, if our wives are not what they should be, it may not be our fault, but I raise a question this morning. What difference could we make if we tried this approach? What difference could it make if us as men would get this spirit within our hearts in such a way that the love of Christ is so strong that the thing changes? I guess that's what I got out of that verse this morning as I thought of it. I have pondered on that verse for years. What is a home like that? How do I love my wife like that? That the blemishes are gone and you don't see them. And we're not ashamed. Paul speaks about this in verse 32. He says, this is a great mystery, this whole thing of being Christ-like with our wives. It's a mystery. It's a phenomena that God made that it works, and we find that it works if we go God's way. It's a beautiful thing. But he's saying, brothers and sisters, he's saying in verse 33, he says, nevertheless, okay, after all this is talked about, after all these things are here and we're thinking about it, he says this, he says, let every one of you in particular so love your wife so love your wife, even as yourself. When we dress ourselves, we feed ourselves, we take care of that. Love your wife in such a way that Jesus and God's word comes out of that relationship and speaks. Because all of this is a testimony of who God is in this old wicked world. And after all said and done, that's probably about all that's going to be remembered of Dirk Visser. Is who he was at home and what he did. All this other stuff burns up. And brothers, if that's all that we're living for, your marriage might burn up. And would to God that it wouldn't be that way. That's my heart this morning. I was so gripped with this thing. Brothers, I don't want to... Oh, I don't know what to say. One of my workers, he gave me an invitation yesterday, Friday. He'd like if we'd come to his second wedding. Brothers... I never want to get one for one of you. Let's stay focused. I've got to talk with this fellow about this thing. But that's there. But this is here. And I don't ever want to get one of those from any of you brothers. And you might say, oh, that'll never happen. Will it? My knees are so weak right now, I could just fall down. I'm serious. This is a serious matter. And if we don't get a hold of this thing and get dead serious about it, that it's going to change when we walk out that door, if it needs to. Or it's going to keep keeping on because it needs to. That's my prayer this morning, and I believe it's the heart of God. In Genesis, he spoke about it. In the end of Malachi, he speaks about it. And really, it's the feet of Christ and God's word, our Christian homes, or the lack of it. So may God help us. Let's just ponder these things. If something needs to change, just do business with God today. Don't wait till tomorrow. That could be too late. Ain't worth it. Amen? Let's rise together and let's pray. Oh God, I come before you this morning. Lord, give us Christian homes, Father. Lord, where the men are loving their wives, even as Christ loved the church. Father, I pray, oh God, may you take and work in our hearts. Lord, if there's something that needs to change, may you change it by your mercy. But Lord, help us as brothers to lay a hold in such a way that our homes can be solid for your name's sake. God, I thank you for my wife this morning. I thank you for my children. I thank you for the brothers here. Lord, help us to be an encouragement one to another and to take this thing seriously, Lord. That we wouldn't just be two separate people living in the house, but Lord, that we could have a home where there's love and joy together. So Father, I pray this morning for your help and grace upon each one. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your word. As we look at this, there's a way that we can walk that works. Lord, I thank you for being the privileged one to know that this morning, that you have given me that hope and help, Father. Lord, we pray in our country for the people that don't know this morning. God, I pray, help us to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.